Welcome to Live with Lon this Thanksgiving weekend. I am so glad that you're joining us. I want to wish a happy belated Thanksgiving to everybody. I hope you had a wonderful celebration with your family and your friends. And thank you for joining us for Live with Lon this weekend. I want to talk to you today about giving thanks to God. Also about giving thanks in general, but particularly giving thanks to God. So, without any further ado, let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we come to you and we thank you, Lord, for all the goodness and all the kindness and all the benevolence that you have shown us, Lord. And I pray that you would really talk to us today about an attitude of giving thanks to God for everything. Father, use your word in our lives today and speak to us deeply from the word of God to our spirit by the illuminating power of the Holy Spirit. Anoint me as I teach, and may it be spirit-filled as I expound the word today, and I pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody says, what? Amen. And what? Amen. Okay. It's Luke chapter 17. For some of us, it's a very familiar story in the Gospels, a little bit obscure, perhaps, but it's one of my favorite. Luke chapter 17, verse 11, New King James Version of the Bible. Say it with me. What do we do with Lon Solomon Ministries here? We teach what? The Bible. The whole Bible. Nothing but the Bible. Then we apply it to our life. That's right. And so here we go. Luke chapter 17, verse 11. And it came to pass, as he, Jesus, went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Now remember, the standard way of a pious Jew going from the Sea of Galilee in the north to Jerusalem farther south was to go down the east side of the Jordan River to Jericho and then cross at Jericho and go up to Jerusalem. The simplest way to go was not from the Sea of Galilee straight across the central part of what is modern-day Israel, because the Samaritans lived there. And these were a group of half-breeds in terms of what the Jewish religious people considered them to be. They resulted from the intermarrying of strange people, non-Jewish people, that the Assyrians in 721 B.C., when they conquered the northern kingdom of Israel, they imported all of these foreigners into the northern kingdom who intermarried with the Jews that were left there, and the result were these half-breeds called Samaritans. And remember John chapter 4, the woman at the well who was a Samaritan said, what are you doing, Jesus? Jews don't talk to us. What are you doing sitting here at the well talking to me? So, but Jesus cut through Samaria on this particular trip. Very unusual. But he had some people in Samaria that, as God in the flesh, he knew he needed to meet. Verse 12. And as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. Leprosy was a fairly common disease in the ancient Near East at the time of Jesus. It's known today as Hansen's disease, but it is a bacterial infection that often caused disfigurement. And of course, there was no cure for leprosy. There is today, with massive treatments with antibiotics, but back then there was no cure, and it's contagious. And so lepers were shunned. Lepers were kept apart from main society because of this contagious nature of leprosy. And once you had leprosy, you were an outcast for the rest of your life. It was terrible. And so they stood afar off, verse 12, because they were not allowed to approach healthy people close up. And they lifted their voices, verse 13, and they said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Why did Jesus say, "Go see the priest"? Well, because in the Old Testament, if you were cured of leprosy, if you had a divine healing, the first thing you were supposed to do is go show yourself to the priest. They were to examine you and to corroborate that healing as being legit before that person could be readmitted into normal society. You understand? So when Jesus said, "Go show yourself to the priest," there was in that command an intrinsic idea that they were going to be healed. If they weren't going to be healed, there would be no reason for them to go show themselves to a priest. Are you with me? But this was an act of faith on their part. Jesus didn't heal them. The Bible says, as they were going, they were cleansed. So when they first started off heading for the priest, they had not been cleansed yet. They had to step out by faith and head for a priest. And because they stepped out by faith and did it, Jesus healed them. Do we understand? Okay. So now they have skin that is as sweet and as fair as a baby's skin. Here we go. Verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned around, returned, and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Of course he was. He was living in central Israel, and he was a Samaritan. Wow, this is great. This guy didn't even finish going to the priest. But when he saw that he was healed, I get in my mind the picture of the end of the movie Ben-Hur, when Ben-Hur's mother and sister are miraculously healed. You remember that? And he, this leper, ran back to Jesus, fell at his feet, and began saying, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, I don't know what I can say to say thank you anymore than just to say, God, thank you, thank you." Overwhelmed with gratitude. And Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? So where are the 9? Were there not found any who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." Now, the truth is, Jesus made him well. But what activated that healing was this man's willingness to trust the word of Jesus when he said, go show yourself to the priest. There was an inherent promise in those words that, "And I'm going to heal you." And this man was willing to step out by faith and trust the word of Jesus and go. His faith made him well because it gave him access to the healing power of Christ. Now, that's as far as we're going to go in our passage, but we're going to stop now and ask our most important question. So, are you ready? Come on now. 1, 2, 3. So what? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And gosh, Thanksgiving weekend, healing 10 lepers. What can we say but, with Jackie Gleason, how sweet it is. That's right. How sweet it is. The power of Jesus to wipe out leprosy just like that. Amazing. Okay, so what's the lesson today that I want us to take home? What's the so what? You say, well, the so what is when Jesus makes us a promise, like he made to these lepers, we need to step out by faith and trust him and act on that promise as though that promise has already happened. Because if Jesus promises us, it's going to happen. He can't lie. Oh, that's a wonderful so what. That's not the so what I want to share with you, but that's a wonderful so what. Remember, one passage can have more than one so what. It can have two or three or four so what's. And it's up to the preacher to pick the one to share with his congregation on a particular day because of God, how God was working during the week in that pastor's heart. I often would tell my students in seminary when I was teaching homiletics, that is how to preach. If you want to take and share two so what's, don't do them both in the same message, because people, the more you do that, the less people will remember the point. Do two messages on this passage. There's no law that says you can't do two messages on the same passage, or three messages if you want to, if there's three so what's. Okay, but today the so what I want to share with you is the so what about Thanksgiving. This leper, okay, let's read the verse again. He came back, verse 16, he fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And the Lord loved this. It's clear from the passage. The Lord was honored. The Lord was pleased. The Lord was actually, I think, excited and happy that this man came back and gave him thanks. But he asked a question, and his question was, I thought I healed 10 people. Where's the other 9? Now, folks, this is Jewish humor. If you're Jewish, you get this. I mean, you know, this is something Tevye in Fiddler on the Roof would say. I thought I healed 10 people and only one came back. Where are the other 9? Yeah. Well, where were they? They didn't come back to say thank you. Now, interesting question. Did Jesus take their healing away because they didn't come back and say thank you? No, there's no indication that he revoked their healing just because they didn't come back and say thank you. He was obviously pleased at the one leper who did. But the other 9, the indication from the passage is they kept their healing. Did they ever come back and say thank you? I don't know. Not the passage doesn't seem to indicate that. So here are 9 people, 9 lepers, Jesus healed, allowed them to keep their healing, even though they never came back and said thank you. But the one who did come back, I think, earned a special place in the heart of Jesus. Now let's talk about you and me, because so often we're like the 9 lepers. So often God does something for us and we never make a point of going back and saying thank you. We might feel thankful, and these 9 lepers might have felt thankful, but they didn't go back and make a special point to actually express that gratitude and express that thankfulness to the Lord expressly. That happens to all of us. We all are guilty of that. But that's not, I believe, the way Jesus wants us to be. It's clear from this passage, Jesus loves it when we come back and say thank you. He loves a grateful heart. He loves a grateful spirit. He loves when we come back and express our gratitude and our appreciation to him. Why is that? I'm not 100% sure, but I'll tell you this. There are three things about other people that I really don't like if it's true in their life. I don't like rudeness. I don't like disrespectfulness. And I don't like ungratefulness. I don't like those things. And maybe the Lord, being a person, I mean, we're made in his image. He's got a personhood like we do. Maybe he's like that. Maybe he doesn't like. It's just part of his nature. He just doesn't like ingratitude. He doesn't like ungratefulness. Do I do things because I want people to say thank you? No. I do things because I think it's the right thing to do, or I want to be generous. However, when people are ungrateful, it really leaves a sour taste in your mouth. I mean, look, when you want to cut over from one lane to the other and you're driving and you put on your signal, when someone slows down, lets me in, I always lower my window and wave my hand and say thank you, or through the back window, depending upon the situation. I say thank you. Whenever someone lets me in, when I'm trying to get into a line of traffic, say from an entrance to a shopping center or something, I always say thank you very much. And what really irritates me is when I let someone in to traffic, when they just turn the other way and drive on and don't in the slightest express any appreciation. Hey, pal, I didn't have to stop and let you in. I didn't have to flash my lights so you could get in. I could have just driven right by you. I made a special point to stop and be kind to you, and you have the audacity not even to recognize it or thank me. I don't like that. It just leaves a bad taste in my mouth and tells me something about the character of that person. So maybe I think God's a lot the same way. I think it leaves a bad taste in his mouth when we don't come back and say thank you. I do. I think that's what this passage indicates. So I'm thinking of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in all things give thanks. The Bible makes it clear this pleases God. As the book of Hebrews says, this is the sacrifice of praise. This is a spiritual form of sacrifice and worship to God when we give him thanks. So friends, this is what I want to leave you with today. When God does something for us, we should try to be very deliberate about going back and saying thank you. When we've got a backache and we say, oh Lord, please help my back, and then it gets better, we need to say it the next day, Lord, thank you for healing my back. I strained my knee a while back, hitting it on something, and I was afraid, am I bone on bone? Do I need a knee replacement? I got one and it was so horrible that I never want to get another one. I went to the doctor. They took x-rays. No, you're not bone on bone. You just strained your knee. I mean, we need to walk out and say, Lord Jesus, thank you so much. And then my knee's better now. We need to say, Lord Jesus, thank you so much for helping my knee feel better. These are little things. Thank you for that parking space. Thank you for helping me find my keys. Lord, thank you. I went out shopping and I actually found what I wanted in my size. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that my car's running well. Thank you, Lord Jesus, my appliances aren't broken today and I don't have to buy a new washing machine. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you. Our life should be a continual expressing of thank you to the Lord. Thank you that my children are healthy. Thank you my grandchildren are healthy. Lord, thank you for my income and my employment. Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. That pleases God. It is a sacrifice of worship to God. And sadly, you may be thankful, but so often, sadly, we as believers don't go back and expressly thank God. We should change this. Every day, we should be thanking God for things. Now, I'll close with a story. Obviously, it's a true story because I'm a pastor. I wouldn't lie to you. A while back, I became concerned that there was a tax legislation here in Washington, D.C. that dealt with the tax code, with your 1040s, with the Internal Revenue Service that was being considered by the administration. This was a few years ago. That was really going to hurt people who had children with disabilities and people who were taking care of relatives with chronic illness. It dealt with how much could be deducted for medical expenses on your Schedule A 1040. Okay, enough. But, so I wrote a politician whom I knew because he had come to McLean Bible Church for years. And I expressed in a very small note how this was going to negatively affect people who were caring for a child with disabilities or a person with disabilities or an aging relative or a person with chronic illness. And it was just a few sentences because that's what politicians like. They don't want a tome. They want it short and sweet. I've learned that. And that's what I gave this person, this politician. And I begged him to please see if there was anything he could do to keep this change from happening that would disadvantage so many people like that. Well, long story short, I don't know how he did it. I don't know how he exerted the influence to do it. But somehow, some way, he did it. So I wrote him a thank you note and thanked him for helping people like me and others who are taking care of people. And I saw him quite a bit later, months later after that. I saw him and I shook his hand and he said, you know, I was happy I could be of some help with that tax issue. And I said, you don't know how much you've done to help people who are caring for people with disabilities, etc. And he said, you know something? He said, I was happy to help. He said, but you did something virtually no one ever does. I had no idea what he was talking about. I said, excuse me, I don't understand what you're talking about. He said, not only did you write me and ask for something, he said, people do that all the time, Lon. He said, but when I was able to help and do it, you actually wrote me a thank you note. He said, nobody ever does that. When I help them and I do it, he said, I never get a thank you note. It's just like, you know, bada bing, bada boom, on we go. He said, nobody ever writes me a thank you note. He said, Lon, I will always remember that you wrote me a thank you note. You just didn't write me a request, but you wrote, when I was able to help, you wrote a thank you note. I frankly had forgotten all about the thank you note by the time we were having this conversation. I really had. And suddenly I realized, wow, people in authority like this man, people ask them for stuff all the time. They do stuff for people all the time. And it matters to them that people express gratitude to them. That's not why they help people, but it matters to them. Hey, friends, God has people ask him to do stuff for them all the time. But how many people come back like the leper and thank him? There's no way to write him a note to come back and expressly thank him and say, Lord, thank you so much for this. Thank you so much for that. And thank you for the other thing. Thank you for helping my child. Thank you for helping my grandchild. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for my health. Thank you, Lord, I didn't have an accident today driving home from work. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Our life should be one steady stream of thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. This pleases God. It's a sacrifice of praise, using our lips to give thanks to God. Let's all try to be better at this, shall we? Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me for the many, many times that you do things for me and that I never come back and actually thank you. I just take it for granted, Lord, and that's so wrong. And I ask you to forgive me for that and to help me become far more conscious of my need to say thank you and of how much you enjoy my saying thank you. Lord, help all of us with this, I pray. May our life be a steady stream of thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, humbling ourselves before you and recognizing your grace and your goodness to us. Thank you that this brings you pleasure, and so therefore, Lord, help us do it more. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, Amen. Now, let me just mention, this also is true when God does things and allows things that we don't like and we don't want. Paul says, give thanks in everything. So even thanking God for the things that are not what we wanted, because we know Psalm 84:11, no good thing does he, God, withhold from those who walk uprightly. So if something happens, your washing machine breaks, your car breaks, whatever, 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 if God knew if something was better for you at that moment in time, he would have done it, because no good thing does he withhold. Therefore, the fact he's allowed this to happen means that for this moment in time, this must be the very best thing for us. You say a broken washing machine is the best thing for me? A car accident's the best thing for me? No good thing does he withhold. So if he gave you this, yes, yes. And recognizing that and thanking him even for the things we don't like and we don't want, this is important too. Steady stream of thankfulness for the things we asked for and were good, for the things we didn't ask for and were not so good.
Yeah.
And I hope God spoke to your heart about this like he did mine. God bless you. See you next week, Lord willing, on Live with Lon.